Welcome to SBC This Week, a weekly roundup of news from across the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as interviews from today's top church leaders. I'm Brandon Porter. Laura Erlandson is here with me. And Laura, you are not wearing your turkey hat just yet.
No, it would. My headphones would mess it up. It's sitting here right beside me.
Yeah. Okay.
Ready to put it back on as soon as we're done.
All right. Well, Thanksgiving just around the corner as we record this. What are the plans for you and your family this Thanksgiving, Laura?
Well, we are driving to Texas, and we are driving to right outside of Waco, where my mm-hmm. husband is from. And if it wasn't for Arkansas, it wouldn't be such a bad trip. But
ooh.
Arkansas, I mean, I like Arkansas. It's just, boy, it takes forever to get from Memphis to Texarkana on I-40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're going. So, yep, we're excited.
Very good. Very good. Well, the big thing for me the next week is going to be smoking some turkeys for our church gathering over the weekend and then for our family gathering. I have, this is not necessarily an endorsement, so I'm just telling you what I do. I'm not necessarily endorsing this YouTube channel, right?
Okay. Okay.
But at this time of the year, I go to a YouTube channel called The Pit Boys.
Okay.
And they are exactly like they sound, and it's entertaining with all the other things that happen, but it's just a YouTube channel that teaches you how to smoke meats. And every year I need to be reminded of this apple cider turkey that I use. And it seems to be a fan favorite over the years. And so I was just thinking this week, it's time to pull up the Pit Boys.
Sounds pretty good. I'm thinking Palms Team Christmas party.
Sounds
as
good.
Well.
I can do it. I can do it. Yeah, it's one of those things. I do it at Thanksgiving and Christmas. So once we kind of get a rhythm here these 6 weeks, then I've got the stuff on hand to do it. So I'll see if I
that
can.
That sounds pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, see if I can come through for you guys. Again, not endorsing everything that the Pit Boys say or that you may see on that channel. But the actual the base and the brine and then the smoking process for the meat can't go wrong. So
well,
anyway,
I also will, I'm sure, partake in my share of smoked turkey because my father-in-law is a championship Texas barbecuer.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And so his smoked turkey and his brisket and his chicken and all, you know, who knows what we'll have. I'm sure he'll load us up. I'm pretty excited.
I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. So we're looking forward to that. Just a note right now while we're thinking about it, no podcast the week of Thanksgiving. We're going to take a week off to be with our families. And then, Lord willing, we'll be back with you that first week of December. So, you know, you'll have to do something else with your time. That 30 minutes, 40 minutes, we're giving it back to you. Okay. So fill
it'll
it
be
with
shopping.
Something. That's right. Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll get to our SBC emphasis calendar in just a few minutes, which we'll really focus on that first week of December. But before we do that, Laura, we want to focus in on another selection by President-elect Trump that touches the SBC.
A NAM chaplain, Doug Collins, who has been a NAM chaplain for a while and also pastored churches in Georgia. He hasn't been a pastor since 2005, but he has been a NAM chaplain, has been announced as Trump's candidate to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs. So Doug Collins pastored Chicopee Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he served in Congress, both at the state level, and then was a representative from Georgia in the U.S. House. And ran for Senate in 2020, did not get that, but has continued to be a chaplain in the Air Force Reserves. And Doug Carver, so we have two Doug C's in the story, Doug Collins. But Doug Carver, many of you will know as the leadership there at NAM for Southern Baptist chaplains. He said, "I am grateful for people of faith like Doug who have sacrificially served our country and continue to do so when the nation calls upon them." So prayers there for Doug Collins in Georgia as he looks to take on that very important role.
Yeah, he's actually a graduate of New Orleans Seminary. So,
just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
There you go. That's it. So very cool. All right. The IMB, Laura, is making they're just sort of brought back to the forefront this week, something that they have been doing the last a couple of years that has really had some success. And here, as we get into the holiday season, into the Lottie Moon Christmas offering season, they're just pulling it back up. And that is church connections, how Southern Baptist churches can connect with IMB missionaries. We had a great story from them this week talking about the value of that, some of the success that they've had, and then also for the ways that churches can connect with those IMB missionaries.
It's really important, and I can just speak even from firsthand information, firsthand experience, I know you can too, how important it is for churches to get FaceTime with missionaries. People that don't live in this world like you and I do, sometimes it seems very abstract, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering or foreign missions or whatever, international missions. And if you can see people's faces and talk to them, email them, get to know them, you're just so much more invested and you're so much more likely to support it with your prayer and with your giving. And I've already actually been in talks just this week with a couple of different missionary families to try to get videos from them that our church has relationships with so that we can play them during our Lottie Moon promotion in the next few weeks so that we can get, once again, remind people that you're giving to pe we're actual people, and what you're giving is this is how it's being used around the world to spread the gospel. Victor Howe, the IMB Associate Vice President for Global Advance, as sent ones, he said, we have a responsibility to those who are sending us to be accountable to them, to communicate with them, and share what God is doing among the nations. And so IMB has really made that very formal, that relationship, that the missionaries are accountable to the churches and they're responsible for regularly contacting, I think it's 10 churches. I think each missionary has 10 churches that they're regularly reaching out to and connecting with. That one of the sad things in this story, though, I thought, is that there are instances of missionaries reaching out to a church and just never hearing back. They might call, they might send an email, and they just never hear back. But then later on, if they're home on stateside and they go visit that church and actually meet the pastor or meet someone there, then they can establish that relationship. And then they go, oh, well, yeah, I don't, we just got busy. We never responded. We should respond. So if your church gets an email from a missionary, they're looking for you to respond. And so I would just urge you to do that.
Yeah, so you can learn about that. You can go to the IMB's website, imb.org, and just do a search for Church Connections. You'll find it there. Or you can simply send an email to info@imb.org and just put Church Connections in the subject line and tell them that your church wants to connect with a missionary, and someone there will follow up with you. It's pretty easy to do. So great, great opportunity to put names and faces with those who are sacrificing for the Great Commission and being obedient to the Lord's call. And we're giving toward that cause and supporting them through our prayer. And here's another way that we can come alongside and be help to them. All right, Laura, this week we had a story about a great conference event, a refresh retreat. That sounds good right there. Just the name,
Yes,
right?
in Puerto Rico, no
And
less.
that's
Yeah.
right. So now it sounds like it should be on Wheel of Fortune or something like that, you know? So the North American Mission Board put that together for pastors in Puerto Rico, and they had a great turnout for that.
I was blown away by the turnout. 94% of all pastors affiliated with the Convention of Southern Baptist Churches in Puerto Rico came to this retreat. That's pretty amazing. I don't know
Absolutely.
of any meeting that has that kind of participation. And yeah, it's a refresh event. NAM hosts several of these throughout the year at different locations. I think this is maybe the first time they had ever done one in Puerto Rico. Luis Soto, who is the executive director of the convention, said it was an unforgettable weekend of blessings for Puerto Rico. Powerful exhortations through God's word. We were encouraged. We were refreshed together. And the pastors and their wives, it was just a special time. And I loved that report. And they heard from Kevin Ezell. They heard from Tim Dowdy, who's the vice president of evangelism there at NAM, just for some encouragement and refreshment. And I was like, yeah, how can I get invited to go cover that next year?
Yeah,
I don't
there you
know.
go. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're going to do some rapid fire items for you now. State convention season is past. We're still filing the final stories
I
and
have two left.
two to
I'm
go.
looking at you, Arizona and Illinois.
There you go. We're looking to
Yeah,
hear from you
I got two
guys.
left.
Yeah, they
I
can.
know that we've talked. I know they're sending them. It'll be
Yeah.
next week. Yeah.
Yep, there you go. And so we'll have that for you when we get back on the podcast right after Thanksgiving. But this week we heard from Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware, the BGCT, which is the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and Louisiana. And so, Laura, let's talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this week's annual meeting stories is what the messengers didn't do versus maybe what they did do. At the BGCT there in Texas, they declined to adopt the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 as the statement of faith for that convention. Currently, BGCT churches affirm the 1963 BFNM, or the BFNM 2000, some of them do, or the 19th century New Hampshire Confession of Faith. And if you were at the annual meeting in Indianapolis, you remember this issue coming up from the floor. A messenger from Texas asked NAM President Kevin Ezell about NAM's partnership with the BGCT and where that stands. And NAM, Ezell was very honest and said that NAM will only support church plants that affirm the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. And so it's just been kind of an ongoing issue. He met, Ezell went to Texas a few weeks ago and met there with officials at the BGCT. And that was that. This is sort of coming out of that and saying, well, do we want to affirm the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 and adopt that as our statement of faith? And messengers declined to do that by a pretty wide margin, is my understanding. So we'll just kind of see where that goes from here. And then in Louisiana, messengers also declined a pretty significant resolution that was brought to the Resolutions Committee. The committee did not forward it on for a vote, and so the man who submitted it, the pastor, tried to get it to come out of committee, and it failed to come out of for up for a vote. That was about the actual name of the resolution was the abolition of self-managed abortion in Louisiana. That's another issue that's come up several times over the last few years at the annual meeting, at the SBC annual meeting, about quote unquote the abolition of abortion and what all that entails, that movement, which supporters of that movement would call for the conviction, criminal prosecution of even women seeking abortions or women who have had abortions, or and so that has caused many to hesitate to call for to use that word abolition because they don't want to see, they feel like the mother oftentimes is a victim herself. And so that's been a very contentious issue, especially in Louisiana the last few years, and messengers declined to adopt a resolution saying that. And so that I thought that was an interesting development.
Yeah, the Baptist Message did a good job on that story. There's
Yeah,
some
they
back
did.
and there's back and forth dialogue that was shared on the floor of the annual meeting there in Louisiana. So make sure to check that out at Baptist Press, their story on this. It's very insightful, very helpful as we think through this important issue. Laura, we also learned this week that Hannibal LaGrange University, they've been working with an assessment team with the Higher Learning Commission, and that commission has removed the probation that they had placed on that school just a few years ago. And so the school's board of trustees took steps in March of 2022 to address $690,000 in debt and to keep that university operational through that year. And since then, they've been working on a sustainable budget plan and also building up student enrollment. And so we're encouraged by that. Congratulations to them as they take the next step forward and proceed forward in the ministry that God's given them there at Hannibal LaGrange. Also, a big change down at Mississippi, at Mississippi College.
Yeah, they are changing their name to Mississippi Christian University beginning in 2026. And that happened at Louisiana College here just a few years ago. They changed their name to Louisiana Christian University. So, kind of a similar move there in Mississippi. Mississippi College began in 1826, which blows my mind. It was the oldest university in the state, and it was obtained by Mississippi Baptists in 1850. And now it will become Mississippi Christian University. And kind of sad news, they also discontinued their football program. They announced that this week as well. They just are realigning their athletic departments and the athletics that they're going to focus on. And so that means no more Mississippi College Choctaws on the football field after this season, which I didn't know this either. That team has been around since 1907.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no more.
So quite a history there on the gridiron. So go cheer for them a few more times if you're so inclined to do so. An announcement in Tennessee this week, Laura, where Lonnie Wilkie, who has said he is retiring at the end of 2024. He's been the editor of the Baptist and Reflector here in Tennessee. He's been on the staff there for 36 years, 26 of those years as the editor. And so first, just a thank you to him for a job well done and wishing him well in retirement and the ministry the Lord has for him there. But also this week, we learned that Chris Turner, who is the director of communications for the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board since 2014, will become the editor of the Baptist and Reflector. And David Dawson has been named the managing editor. And David's been on staff there for a good long while as well, helping them. He's been a communications specialist since 2017. So congratulations to all of them and best wishes to them in the next chapters of their life and ministry.
Yeah, these are all friends of ours. And I wanted to say this too about the Baptist and Reflector. It turns 190 years old next year.
About that.
It's just an institution, one of the
Absolutely.
oldest publications of any kind in the United States. And so it's good to see that Chris, our friend and consummate professional, is taking it over. And hopefully its best days are even ahead of it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, just in time for Black Friday, Lifeway sent out a study this week, story that says many Americans are more consumeristic than content. There you go.
Yes. I'll be thinking of this when I try to visit the silos in Waco while I'm
shipping
Joanna when I'm out in Waco. But we'll see. Yeah. So yeah, they asked 1,200 adults their level of agreement with 10 statements related to consumerism versus contentment. And most Americans find themselves kind of a mix. Around 30% are closer to one extreme or the other. 29% would be considered consumers, and 32% would be considered more content. More than 2 in 5 Americans say they want more nice things, but they're less likely to say that their consumerism veers into jealousy. They want nice tech. Almost half agree that they like to have the latest technology. 51% disagree with that. This was the surprising stat in the story to me, though. Religious service attendance is correlated to embracing a consumeristic mindset. I would think that it would not be that way.
Right.
I'm not sure what to make of that. Those who attend more than once a week are the most likely to say that shopping makes them feel worthwhile. 61%. And so I don't know. I didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Earlier in the podcast, we talked about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and the week of prayer that will come up. And so we've been thinking about missions and how we can come alongside and support and help missionaries. And Scott Barkley found an
I don't know how he
interesting,
finds these things.
Found a very interesting way. We might, we're reporting on this, and this is a little bit of a pitch to other churches out there as you're thinking about ways to raise awareness for missions. And so at First Baptist Church, Carter, Oklahoma, they have just celebrated their Frog Giggin' tournament, which helps to prod interest in missions. That's right. You heard
I see
it.
What you did
Frog
there.
Gigging. Frog Giggin', right?
No,
there you
there's
go.
Yeah, you have to drop the last G.
That's right.
It's Giggin'.
Yeah. Giggin'.
So yeah, they had this is a town of less than 200 people, but they have over 400 people at their Frog Giggin' tournament. So
yeah.
It's a big deal.
Folks come from parts all around here.
Yeah, they do. And if you don't know what Frog Giggin' is, I don't want to get too graphic, but it involves basically like a really long fork, and you just go hunt frogs with it and spear them, essentially.
Yeah. It kind of is what it sounds like.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And so you fry up the frog legs and have a party after it's over, after the contest is over, and they have prizes for the biggest frog and the most frog and all most frogs and all that, and it's a pretty big deal. So if you're ever in Carter, Oklahoma, be sure to go to the Frog Giggin' tournament at First Baptist Church.
So there was fundraising for aware for missions that was a part of that. We haven't really talked about the mission awareness
No,
part.
that's true. That's
Yeah,
true. I kind of got
so
sidetracked.
that's okay. So they talk about missions awareness through the event. There's opportunities to share and a promotion that leads up to it for the church. And then the folks do the frog gigging during the night, and they come back in the morning, and the judges have done their work, and there's a celebration there, and the gospel is shared. There's a testimony shared by folks in the church, and so a program put together, very intentional, and they talk about just how the Lord has used that and has not only built mission awareness in the church, but it's also helped others in the community to hear the gospel and come to know Christ through this that they've had over the last few years. So very, very cool, outside of the box, a way to gather people in a very unique way for the great purpose of sharing the gospel with them. So thanks to First Baptist Church, Carter, Oklahoma, for talking to us about that this week. And it does lead us, Laura, that when we come back after this little Thanksgiving break, we're going to be right in to the week of prayer for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering.
Yep, I've already gotten the stories and ready to get them loaded up so that they can start posting even on Thanksgiving weekend. They can start going up that Sunday, December 1st is the very first story. That's the first day of the week of prayer. So, yeah, it's coming.
So if you want to know a little bit more about that, go to imb.org/LMCO or do a search for Lottie Moon Christmas on their website, and you'll find all those resources. Laura, this week we posted a first person that I wrote on giving thanks. And this is something that was it's been on my mind the last few years, to be honest. And so I sat down and put it into words and did a search recently on Thanksgiving. And what I found was in the New Testament, the phrase or the word Thanksgiving doesn't appear all that often. What appears most is the phrase giving thanks. And that led me to really begin to think about kind of my attitude toward Thanksgiving. And I would often say that I was thankful, but I wasn't giving thanks, if that makes sense. And so thankful meaning that you go, you might have a big meal, somebody takes care of you, provides for you, and you're satisfied and you get up and you go. But do you ever actually give thanks to others for what they have done for you? Do you give thanks to the Lord? You're thankful for the blessings the Lord has given to us, but do we give thanks? And that is the word, thanksgiving, right? It's a call to give thanks.
That is such an important distinction. And I think as our culture secularizes too, it kind of feels like Thanksgiving gets overlooked. People go straight from Halloween to Christmas. And I think maybe if you don't believe in God or you don't feel have a relationship with God, that you maybe don't even know why you should be thankful or who or to whom you should be thankful. And it's important to remember, yes, of course, feel thankful. That's important. You want to feel thankful, and everybody talks about even the mental health benefits of feeling grateful and keeping a gratitude journal and all of that. But remember who we're thankful to for all of our blessings. And yeah, I really appreciated your first person and just how it's not just a feeling, it's an action, giving thanks. And not just to God too, but even for people who are important in your life, people who have blessed you. And you talked about even as a kid, you would go to these holiday get-togethers with your family and not even realize all the work that had gone into it. Sometimes weeks or of preparation have gone into putting together even a family gathering, and you don't You might appreciate it and you might enjoy it, but to think, you know what, I should say thank you to my aunt who put this together, or my mom or my grandmother, whoever did it. And that's important. It's important to realize how much other people influence us and how much they give to us. And of course, above all, how much our Heavenly Father gives to us and to express thanks to Him.
It really kind of tears me up to think about it, to be honest. We sat down, Monica and I sat down with my parents a few weeks ago, and my brother, and his wife, and we talked about Thanksgiving. We're at the spot where my parents are at the age that they're letting us help a little bit more now, and so we made a game plan about 3 weeks ago, and we've done that the last couple of years. And whenever I do that, I think, man, we're a month from Thanksgiving. We're 6 weeks from Thanksgiving, and we're making a game plan for this day, and it just does make me think about the past. And just the work that family puts into days like that, and certainly holidays bring that out, but there's tons of other times that people in my life have just been so gracious and kind. And I think the hard thing with it is when those folks are gone and the opportunity is passed, and there's regret there that you wish you would have said something to them. Knowing that that's not why they were doing it, that they were doing it for the joy of it themselves to serve. But I missed a blessing to be able to serve them and to thank them and to encourage them. And so anyway, I'm gonna get you to the history moment so I can suck it up over here. But just an encouragement to not just be thankful, but make sure to express that to others here during this Thanksgiving season, during the Christmas season as well. So, and just in general, and let it be a reminder to you to change your heart and to express that gratitude to others. All right, Laura. So here we go. Let's come to the history moment. What do you have for us this week?
Okay. This is Dateline,
Okay.
November 28th, 1978. Here's the headline: Baptists among White House Thanksgiving Eve guests.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you might remember who was in the White House at this time, Jimmy Carter.
Okay.
And he was hosting an event at the White House on the eve of Thanksgiving, 1978, to hear British actor Alec MacCowan recite the Gospel of Mark.
Wow.
So I looked up Alec MacCowan, and he has been in tons of movies and tons of stage productions, including in there was one Sean Connery James Bond movie called
Okay.
Never Say Never Again, and he
Okay.
played Q in that movie.
Wow.
But
Okay.
anyway, for what it's worth, Alec MacCowan. But this particular day, he was reciting the Gospel of Mark, the entire thing, at an
Wow.
event at the White House. And the guest list for the one-man performance included numerous Southern Baptists sprinkled in a crowd of representatives from many faiths. It was done in the King James Version on a bare stage and was called an absolutely electrifying performance by none other than Foy Valentine, Executive Secretary of the Southern Baptist Christian Life Commission, which is the precursor to our ERLC. Said the Gospel of Mark came gloriously to life. You wouldn't believe how fascinating it was. It was a prodigious feat of memory, but more important than that, it was a glorious communication of the good news of Christ. Other Southern Baptists in the crowd that night were Mr. and Mrs. Porter Ralph. Let's see, Baker James Coffin, Executive
Okay.
Director of the Foreign Mission Board,
Okay.
and his wife, Gary Cothen, President of the Baptist Sunday School Board, and his wife,
Wow.
Russell Dilday, President of Southwestern Seminary at the time, and his wife, Darold Morgan, President of the Annuity Board, which is now, of course, Guidestone, and his wife, Foy Valentine, who we've already mentioned, who was the Christian Life Commission President, and Emmanuel McCall, who was the staff executive of the Home Mission Board.
Wow.
So a lot of Southern Baptists in the crowd. Jimmy Carter said that he actually the night before had read through the Gospel of Mark in preparation for the performance. And I wonder if there's a video of that out there somewhere. I
Yeah.
should find out. I even if it's not from that event, but I'm sure this actor probably did it at other times, and it would be neat to watch that.
Yeah, and say his name one more time, Albert
His
McCallum.
name is
Alec.
Alec MacCowan, MacCowen, reciting the entire Gospel of Mark. That's pretty cool.
That's very cool. Well, definitely something to check out on YouTube, see if that's out there. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us for SBC this week, not only today, but throughout the year. During state convention season, I've talked to so many of you who listen and just to say hello. And I've certainly taken those greetings back to Laura, and it means a lot to us not only that you're listening, but also that you would take a minute and say hi when we see you out and about. And so,
Absolutely. Yeah.
so thank you for that. And just know that we wish you and yours, your church family, a very happy Thanksgiving, and know that we are grateful for you.
Absolutely. I am grateful for all of our partners, of course, the people that listen to this podcast, but all the people that send us content every day, our partners all over the United States. Brandon gets to see a lot of you a lot more than I do because he gets to go to the meetings and things. But just know how much we appreciate the partnership of Southern Baptists all around the U.S. And as always, there's lots more that we didn't even have time to talk about today. But you can find all of this and much more at baptistpress.com. Thanks for listening and happy Thanksgiving.